Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
Salvation is not through church membership. Salvation is not through baptistry waters. Salvation is through faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You don't save yourself. It's the gift of God, and we're saved because of God's gift through Jesus Christ.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Valuing the Gift of Family.
Well, as we continue learning about life's greatest gifts, we're learning that God places a lot of blessings into our lives. Sometimes He allows burdens into our lives, and He wants us to steward these things wisely. Now, regardless of how your family is made up today, whether you're a single mom, a single dad, young couple, maybe just getting started, maybe you have already raised your kids and have grandchildren, whatever the family structure, I want you to know that God's gifts to you include your family, and that when He places you in a family and places people in your family, He wants you to steward that blessing according to His Word. And today we're going to see from the text of God's Word that children are a gift from the Lord, and that God wants us to steward them wisely. You know what amazes me is that God will place into our care many times, and for many of you, a human life. And people seem to be less concerned about how they take care of that human life than they would a Mercedes-Benz. Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning that the gift of life is so much greater than any material possession? I believe we need to be more serious about how we steward our children and our marriages and our family relationships. And so that's what we're going to learn about this morning, because that's what really matters. Now, how are we going to steward God's gift of the family? Take out your notes and your Bible. I believe if we're going to steward our family wisely, the first thing we've got to learn how to do is to teach the Scriptures to our family. We must emphasize the teaching of the Scriptures to our family. So let's look at Deuteronomy and get a blueprint this morning. Notice in verse 4 it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." In the Hebrew, this is known as the Shema. The Shema is simply a Jewish confession of faith in monotheism. And this was something known amongst all of the families. They believed in one God. And so Moses reminds them that we have a God. But he says to them in verse 5, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now, if we're going to ever pass this down to the next generation, the first thing we've got to do, if you're taking notes this morning, letter A, we have got to make it personal to the parents. Parents, you've got to make your faith real. You've got to make your walk with God real. Once you've been born again, to grow. You've been born spiritually, but we must grow spiritually. And God says, "I want you adults to love me with your heart, your soul, and your might." Here we see this verse number 5. The heart is the innermost being of a man. The soul speaks of our emotions and passions and life. And our might speaks of all of our energies and powers. God says, "Hey, if you're going to have a Christian home, it's got to be real with you, Dad. It's got to be real with you, Mom." George Sweeting, a former pastor years ago of the Moody Church in Chicago, said, and I quote, "May God deliver us from a ho-hum attitude. Young people can read their parents. They can see right through their teachers, and they turn away in disgust from a make-believe faith." And so we must, as moms and dads, as single moms, single dads, grandparents, whatever your case today, we must personally say, Lord, I want to keep it right with you and real with you. Lord, I want to love you more. How many of you are like me this morning? You can say, Pastor Chapel, I love the Lord, but I want to love him more. That's my heart this morning. Sometimes things can crowd into our hearts and kind of crowd God out. Sometimes it's just our ego. You know what ego is? It's edging God out. And suddenly we don't love God as much as we really should. And Moses says, hey, moms and dads, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then secondly, he says, I want you to have a personal walk with the Lord. You personally walking with the Lord. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So God says, I want you to have a heart for me. I want you to have a heart that desires me. Now, someone said you can con a con and you can fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid. All right, let's say that together, all right? You can con a con and you can fool a fool, but you can't a kid. In other words, folks, before we start trying to teach the kids, we better make sure that we love the Lord ourselves. We better make sure that we have a heart for God ourselves. So we must be personally following the Lord. Secondly, then, we must present what we're learning to the children. This is not the job of the Sunday school primarily or the Christian school primarily. It is the job of the parents and the home to teach the children. Look at verse 7. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God says, you know what? I want every home to be a place where my scriptures are prevalent, where they are prominent in the home. I want my families to know about me and to hear from me. And so that is done in many ways. Sometimes it's done by reading together the Bible. Sometimes it's by talking about what our children learned in Sunday school or what we learned in our adult Bible class or what we learned in our personal Bible reading. God says, I want it to be right there a part of your family. You know what Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, what did he say? We will serve the Lord. You know, you ought to be able to have a friend come over to your house from your neighborhood or your work, and they ought to be able to just sense once they're getting in there, you know what? This is a Christian home. They've got some plaques with the Bible around. I see Bibles in this home. The kids talk a little differently in a good kind of a way. It just ought to be obvious that you're teaching the children some things that are biblically based. God says, I want you to teach the truth. You know what else he says to the Jews here in verse 9? He says, I want you to post the truth. Now notice what he says there in verse number 9. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, my friend, when you think about this and when you think about how the Jewish homes would place scripture and perhaps the Ten Commandments, I think all of us, if we're saved, we're new creatures. It ought to affect the way that we live and even what's in the house that we live in. Now, I'm not putting anyone down. Sometimes I'll go to a Christian's house and they'll have some kind of questionable stuff hanging up in the garage, maybe a bunch of nudity. Or I'm just saying this. When you have Jesus in your life and in your home, you don't want to post Budweiser. You want to post things that bring glory to God. You start to think a little differently about it, and you begin to think, you know what, besides some beautiful paintings or pictures, you know what, I want some of those paintings maybe to have a scripture on them, or I want a little plaque somewhere with the Ten Commandments or John 3:16, something that reminds us of our faith, okay? Because the fact of the matter is that if it's all Budweiser and HBO, that's where your family's going to go.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chapel and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchapel.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chappell.
If you want your family to be lifted up out of that, then we've got to begin to think differently and scripturally. We've got to begin to post some things that we can see. Now, the Jews did some things that we don't do in this particular age and dispensation. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." When I was in Israel a few years ago at the Western Wall, I saw some of the Orthodox Jews, maybe you've seen this too, they literally take these phylacteries and they put scripture in them and they tie them around their heads in order to walk around with the scriptures. Now, folks, I got good news for you. We're not passing these out after church. I mean, some of you, if you wore that home from church, your teenagers would go, "Dad has flipped out," okay? Now, I do know a few men that I've pastored over the years. I'd like to tie this and more around some of their heads. You know, like, "Love your wife. Don't forget, boy." You know, tie that one on tight, because sometimes it seems like we forget what we're hearing from church. But the point is that we need to teach our children, and we need to have a home where the scriptures are prevalent. The teaching of the scriptures, God says, here is a life. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to steward this life? Notice, secondly, he says, I not only want you to teach them about me, but I want you to have a testimony before these children. Moms and dads, I want you to live a life before them that shows them the way. Don't just tell them the way, but show them the way to this life. So let's turn now in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians over in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, and let's see what God says to the fathers here in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 4, okay? Ephesians 6, 4, we've seen that God wants us to teach the children. Now he wants us to have a testimony. Verse 4, notice what it says. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now this is very basic, but how many of you believe America needs to get back to basics? Very basic thought. God doesn't intend the school or the state to raise your children. California has recently passed so many laws that are anti-life and anti-biblical family, and now even anti-parental rights, that it's frightening to me, frankly. Now, folks, I want you to know that you have a choice today. You can raise your child, or the state will raise your child, but I'm telling you, God wants you to be involved with your children's lives. To know who their friends are, to know where they are, to teach them, to love them, and to bring them up. So what does God say about us being involved with our children? Look at what it says here in verse number 4 of chapter 6. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Okay, dads, God says, first of all, I want you to have a testimony of moderation. I want you to have a testimony that is not known for always being angry, yelling, screaming, and the like. And how many of you would admit with me, sometimes our kids know exactly what buttons to push? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they get us to that point where we can get frustrated. Heard about a lady named Donna. She was expecting her second child. She had a 4-year-old boy, and she was telling everybody about having this baby. She was so excited. She went to a grocery store one day, and one of her friends was there, and the friend said, "Oh, that's great, Donna." And she looked at the 4-year-old boy and she said, "Are you excited about the little baby?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I've been listening to mom and daddy talk about it too. And said, I know what the names are going to be. If it's a girl, we're going to call the baby Christina. And if it's a boy, we're going to call it Quits." Some of you will get that tomorrow. Donna was a little exasperated, a little embarrassed. Sometimes our kids embarrass us. Sometimes they talk back. Sometimes they don't listen or do their chores. But God says, in the midst of this, dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Be a man filled with the Spirit and with moderation. Be a man who has the fullness of God and is witnessing for the Lord. You see, it is the duty of the family to follow the leadership of the father, but the father must manifest such character that this obedience is rendered from the heart of the child or even the wife. As the family sees this spiritual leadership, it's a blessing for them, and they want to support that because it is something that is of God. That's why it says in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." The word discouraged there means broken in spirit or disheartened. Now, I want to tell you something real quickly. This kind of teaching that Paul was giving to the Ephesians, this wasn't normal in the first century Roman Empire. You know, in the first century Roman Empire, the way they treated children was terrible. In fact, their way of treating children was somewhat barbaric. And I want you to know this, that while some people would say, well, Christianity just takes away your rights and Christianity just holds you down, the truth is really the opposite of that. Wherever biblical Christianity has advanced, civility has also advanced. Wherever biblical, you know, someone says, well, what about the Crusades? I'm not talking about the Crusades, and this is not a Catholic church. Did you know that during the Crusades, not only Muslims were killed, but even Baptists and every other religion that got in the way, they had their lives taken. Baptist people have never killed to advance the faith. I'm not talking about that type of barbarism. What I'm saying is that whenever Christianity has been spread, you're going to find this, orphanages, hospitals, children being nurtured and cared for. You're going to find wives being lifted up and respected and women being respected. But in the first century Roman culture, there was a law called Patria Potestas, which said that a father had virtual power over his children and that he could literally cast them out of the house, he could sell them as slaves, he could even kill them and never be held accountable. This particular man in the Roman Senate by the name of Seneca, he was a statesman at the time of Paul's living, and he wrote a letter to a man in Ephesus in which he said, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, children born weak or deformed, we drown." Now that was what life was like in the Roman Empire. So Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit and saying, by the way, dads, don't get your kids angry. Don't discourage your kids. Love your kids. How many of you see the difference that Christianity brought? How many of you begin to see that when we grow, we're not going to be barbaric, cussing, half out of our mind drunk parents, but we're going to bring a civility into the home that is very, very different. And as I've studied the primary case and the primary causes for many children in California being placed in foster care, it's not because of divorce. It's not because of a lack of finance. Do you know the primary cause is because of a lack of interest on the part of the parents? Parents who say, thanks God, but no thanks. Let us pray for America, lest we become like the Roman Empire. May we recognize that children are the heritage of the Lord. Now, there's not a dad here that wants to discourage his kids. And so let me give you four quick ways to avoid provoking anger in the life of a child. The first way, if you want to avoid provoking anger in your child, is you do not want to model anger. You don't want to be physically abusive, of course, or even verbally abusive. I heard about a little boy and he said, Mom, how come as we drive with Daddy, how come it's only the idiots that come out when Daddy drives? Sometimes dads, without really realizing it, we're always too negative and always too combative. D.L. Moody said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he's a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. Listen, we don't want to spend so much time just modeling anger, anger, anger. You think about so many men that are locked up today. They were abandoned by their fathers. They've known nothing but anger. That's all they're going to reproduce in their life is more anger. The second way that you can instill anger in a child is by overprotectiveness. I think there were some times in my raising up of our children where I got right up to the edge of that. And the reason we do that, parents, is we love our kids so much. And yet sometimes the message that it sends is that we don't trust them at all. And so we want to be careful with overprotectionism in our parenting. And you must realize that rules without relationships brings rebellion into the heart. Those times that I was maybe real close to this overprotection, I was also glad that I'd spent a lot of time developing a relationship so that in the hearts of our children, they knew that Mom and Dad loved them very much. The third way is by favoritism. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac favored Esau, Rebekah favored Jacob, and it really caused great tension in the family. I've seen this over the years. Sometimes I've seen a family that maybe they had a couple kids earlier on, but they really wanted one more, or finally they were able to have a child a little bit later, and suddenly, almost as with idolatry, they worship that child. They take so many pictures. They take so much time with that child. They seemingly spend so much time with this child that they can neglect the others. It's unintentional, But there's a message that is sometimes sent when there's the perception of favoritism. And then fourthly, by passivity. You know, some parents are overly dominant. Some parents are just very passive. They're not involved. They never discipline. They never nurture. They don't really spend time. They don't set boundaries. So Paul is saying, look, love your kids. Don't provoke them to anger. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 speaks about this philosophy. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. And so here we see a testimony of moderation, that we are to not provoke the children. But notice, secondly, there was to be a testimony of admonition. Admonition. Come back to the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Read the rest of it with me. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Say that again. But bring them up. Now, dads, this is a command. God says, I want you to bring them up. I want you to bring them up. First, in the nurture of the Lord. Susanna Wesley had 17 children in England back in the 1800s and late 1700s. Susanna Wesley raised two young sons, John and Charles, who literally shook both Great Britain and America with great revival spiritually. John Wesley wrote in his journal, the parent who studies to subdue the self-will in his child works together with God in renewing and saving the soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and does all that is in him to damn his child's soul and body forever. In other words, dads, at some point, someone's going to talk to your child about the Heavenly Father. And sometimes their perception of this Heavenly Father is based on their perception of their earthly father. And we don't want to do anything to discourage them from wanting a Heavenly Father. Now, let me quickly say, if you were abused by your earthly father, if you were abandoned by your earthly father, there is a Heavenly Father that truly loves you, and He will never leave you and never forsake you. So don't use your earthly paradigm to reject a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. But God says, I want you to nurture these children. Secondly, He says, I want you to admonish these children. Admonishment has the positive, which is the instruction, and the negative, which is correcting them when they do wrong. So God says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up with nurture, the disciplines of life, with admonition, the teaching of what is right and what is wrong in life. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight into thy soul. Now, some of you are new at all this. Let me give you a practical pointer, okay? And jot this down maybe at the side. Say, how do I admonish a child when I'm just learning the faith myself? Some of you are just learning how to love God with your own heart, soul, and mind. So how can you admonish your children? Here's a little tip. A proverb a day. Say that with me. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, one per day. If your kids are younger, just take a couple verses a day. Older, take the whole chapter. There is more family counsel in Proverbs than you can possibly imagine. There's so much admonishment, I guarantee, if you'll take a few minutes a day and read a few verses from Proverbs, if you'll do that for 1 month, I give you this guarantee, it will change your family. I promise you, if you'll take a few minutes every day in the Proverbs, because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now the average family, the average parent is spending about 12 minutes a day talking to their children.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.